last week. But here in John chapter number 13, we're going to continue. And the theme is this: you are covered in the blood. You are covered in the blood. Last week we talked about servant leadership. Last week we talked about being willing to wash feet, being willing to make ourselves humble and serve others. And Jesus was a perfect example of doing that here in John chapter 13. We'll start in verse number 1 again. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them until the end." Let me reassure you about something right now. God loves you from the very beginning, and he loves you until the very end. He loves his own. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you have placed your faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God loves you now. He'll love you tomorrow. He'll love you forever because you belong to him. Verse number 2. And it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Peter didn't understand what was going on. Jesus was trying to demonstrate to the disciples that in order to be the type of leader God wants you to be, you need to be humbled and be a servant. Remember, as they got into the upper room, they'd been fighting about who was the most important. They'd been talking about who should sit at the right-hand throne of God. And they were talking about who was the leader and everything else. And they were arguing with everybody else. And they were trying to figure out who was better in the pecking order. But Jesus sat here and said, "Listen, guys, it's not about a pecking order. It's got to be willingness to be obedient, to humble yourself." And we talked about that last week. Now he comes to Peter, and Peter has got foot and mouth disease. How many of you have foot and mouth disease? How many of you are married to somebody with foot and mouth disease? No hands went up. None of you are brave this morning. You say, "Well, what is foot and mouth disease?" You put your foot in your mouth a lot of times. You say things that you shouldn't say. You spout off sometimes without thinking. You speak without putting your mind into gear. Peter's got that problem. Now, as Jesus is making his way around the table, washing the disciples' feet, he comes to Peter. And Peter asks him, "What are you doing washing my feet?" See, because Peter's feeling guilty. Remember, his mama and everything, you know, James and John, were their mama was trying to say, "Hey, I want my sons to be the leaders." And I'm sure Peter was upset. I'm sure Peter was like, "Wait a minute, that's not fair." And as Jesus is coming to wash his feet, Peter's probably feeling guilty, thinking, "Wait a minute, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I offer to wash people's feet as they came in? Man, I missed out on an opportunity." So here comes Jesus, and Peter says, "What are you doing washing my feet?" Verse number 7, Jesus answers him and says this, "What I do you know not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Brothers and sisters, you may not know and understand exactly what God is doing now. You may not be able to understand and fathom the things that God's intending, but you will know one day. Peter didn't understand. All Peter saw was his master bending down to wash his feet. But Peter had no clue. How many of you wish that God would explain things to you right when they happen? Come on, now, honestly, how many of you wish God would do that? "Well, God, I don't understand. Come on, God, you've got to give me a 4-point outline and give me an explanation of why you're doing what you're doing, because it just isn't fair." May I tell you, we don't deserve an explanation.
We don't have to know exactly what God is doing and why He is doing. God, I'm glad He doesn't explain to me, because if He explained to me what He was doing the whole time, there's no way I'd be standing before you this morning. If He had shown me what I was going through in life and saying, this is why you're going through it, and this is what's going to happen to you, I'd have said, no thank you, I'm out of here, I'm not doing any of those things. You have to trust that God knows what He's doing, His ways are the best ways to do, and just trust Him. Sometimes you don't need an explanation. How many of you have children that are good at asking why? We're going down the road. Why? Where are we going? When are we going to get there? How long is it going to take? And all the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We do that same thing to God. God, why? I don't understand. How long is it going to take? When is it going to be over? I'm tired. I need to go to the bathroom. I'm thirsty. My batteries are out. My machine's not working no more. How many of you have a backseat driver like that? We do that to God all the time. God, I don't understand. And Peter looks at Jesus and says, listen, what are you doing washing my feet? But Jesus had the patience with him and said, listen, you may not understand right now, but you're going to understand one day. Let me show you where it finally dawned on Peter what Jesus was doing. Hold your finger here and go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Let me show you real quick. Just a couple verses that kind of clue you in that Peter was understanding what Jesus was doing. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Find the book of 2 Peter and go left. Find the book of James and go right. That might be help you. 1 Peter chapter number 1, where Peter finally understands what Jesus was really doing. 1 Peter chapter number 1, we get a couple of clues and some things that he writes here. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 2. Peter writes these words. He says, listen, elect, he's speaking to Christians, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Underline that word, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Underline that, because it's going to be very key in just a second. You're going to understand that. Sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Go to verse number 9 now. Same chapter. He says this, he says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel, unto you which the Holy Ghost, which with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. All right, now look at verse number 19. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And you say, now wait a minute, what's that got to do with anything? What Jesus was saying, you don't understand now, but you're going to understand hereafter. Remember, up to this time, the disciples were used to lambs being slaughtered. They were used to every year going to the temple and presenting the spotless lamb or presenting the offering every single year repeatedly to wash away their sins. That's what Peter was used to. That's what his mind was programmed to do. And now Jesus, for the last 3 years, has been telling the disciples over and over, said, guys, I've got to die. I've got to be crucified. I've got to suffer for your sins. And they couldn't understand it. It was so foreign to them. They expected Jesus to be a governmental leader, to come in and overthrow the Roman government. And now here's Jesus humbling himself, and he's looking Peter straight in the eye saying, Peter, you don't understand right now, but you're going to understand one day. Now here's what he explains to him right here. Go back to John chapter 13. Verse number 7. Jesus answered him, "What I do now, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." That's pretty audacious. He looks at Jesus and says, "Listen, how dare you? You're not going to wash my feet." Now, some people looked at Peter and said, some people believe that Peter was being obstinate, saying, "You have no right to wash my feet. You can't do that." That's not what he was saying. See, Peter didn't understand what Jesus was trying to get across to him. How many of you have a struggle sometimes to understand what Jesus is trying to get across to you? I do. There's times I'm thinking, I don't understand this. You've told me and I've read it, but I just don't comprehend what's going on. That's what Peter had a one-track mind. Peter was do. And sometimes Jesus, like, "Peter, slow down, buddy. You got your action in gear without your mind understanding what's going on." So Peter says, "You will never wash my feet." But look how Jesus responds to him. Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, you have no part with me." Now wait a minute, what's he talking about here? He just got through demonstrating washing the disciples' feet. Now he's saying, "Listen, if I don't wash your feet, that you've got nothing to do with me?" What he's saying is, listen, the washing that I'm going to do for you, if you don't accept it, if you don't humble yourself and accept the washing that I'm going to do for you, then you're essentially saying that you want nothing to do with me. Now, what is that washing that he's talking about? He's not talking about washing feet here. Jesus has switched tracks. He's no longer talking about just washing feet to humble himself. He's saying, "Listen, I've got to wash you from your sins." Because remember, in Peter's mind, the only way to be forgiven of sins is by the shedding of blood of an innocent animal. Each year, it took place. And he is also familiar with the Jewish tradition of, before you going into the temple, walking down into the baptistry. So what they would do, it was, they'd essentially have this. They'd have a platform, and then before they would go into the temple, they would walk down into a platform with running water. And they would come down, and the water, running water would be down there, and they would dunk themselves to be ritually clean before they walked into the temple. And then they would come walking back up, and they would go into the temple. And they were used to doing that. It was a ritual cleaning. That water had nothing to do with the cleaning. That water up there, when we baptize, it's got nothing to do with washing away your sins. It's a sign. It's a symbol of your sins being washed away. You're showing the world that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So when they would walk down, it was a sign that they were ritually clean. And then they would go into the temple, and they would sacrifice the animal to wash away their sins by the blood of the animal. Now, Jesus is saying, "Peter, if you don't let me wash you, then what you're saying is that I can't wash you." Because here's what he says. Verse number 10. Jesus said unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all." The previous verse, when Peter understood, "Hey, wait a minute, don't just wash my feet, wash my whole body," it finally clicked. And he said, "Wait a minute, Brother Brian, you're kind of confusing to me this morning. What are you talking about? You don't need me to wash your feet physically for you this morning." Now, some of you might need it, but that's not what you need me to do this morning. You don't need Jesus to physically wash your feet this morning. You need to realize and understand that you've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hold your fingers here and go to the book of Philippians real quick. Let me show you something. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. We'll start in verse number 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you might be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Look at this, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus humbled himself so that he may die for us. Now let me show you another verse. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. First John chapter 1, verse number 7. Or verse number 5, we'll start there. Verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from some of our sins. What's that word? All of our sins. His blood cleanses us from all of our sins. Here's what I want you to get down in your mind this morning. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, there's not a single sin that has not been cleansed by His blood. The sin that you committed this morning has been cleansed by His blood. The sin that you committed last week, last month, last year, the one that Satan keeps bringing to your mind, your failures, guess what? It's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has washed you whiter than snow. When Jesus was washing Peter's feet, he didn't understand that. He couldn't look forward to understanding that every one of his sins was going to be washed. As a matter of fact, in just a few hours, Peter was going to deny Jesus three times. Are you saying, Brother Brian, wait a minute. Were those three denials cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Yes, they were. Every time Peter said something stupid, was that excused? And was it cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Yes, it was. Every time we sin, it's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, some people say, now, wait a minute, Brother Brian. If that's the truth, if I am forgiven, if all my sins are forgiven and they've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, man, I can party now. Woohoo! Man, I'm going to go and get drunk. I'm going to sleep with everything that walks. I'm going to rob. I'm going to steal. I'm going to do whatever I can, because guess what? All my sins are forgiven. All my sins are washed by the blood of Christ. Yoo-hoo! Freedom! Now, is it true that all our sins are washed under the blood? Is that true? How many of you agree that is true? But here's the problem. If your attitude is, I'm washed by the blood, so now I can live like I want to live, then you ain't washed by the blood. You're just have a little bit of salve put on your problem. I want to live for Christ because I'm washed in the blood, not in spite of me being washed by the blood. See, that's the problem with a lot of people nowadays. They've asked Jesus Christ to save them. Okay, I'm saved. I've got my asbestos fire suit on now. Now I can live like hell again. I can go and live like I want to do and live exactly like I want to live because I'm forgiven. No, I want to live for Christ because I'm forgiven. Because the blood has washed away my sins. John goes on to say, he says, listen, if you say that you don't have any sin, guess what? You make God a liar. But then he says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. As Jesus was at Peter's feet that day, and as he was washing his feet, he was telling Peter, listen, Peter, I'm not only cleaning you physically, I'm cleaning you spiritually. And you say, Brother Brian, why are you telling that to us this morning? We know it. Because look at me for a minute. Some of you need to be reminded that you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Some of you have been fighting Satan hand and foot all week long. He's been reminding you how stupid you really are. He's been reminding you of all your errors and all of your problems and all the things that you've done wrong. He's the driver. No, he's the passenger as you're driving. Watch out for that car. Oh, you're getting too close. Oh, you got almost hit that sign. Aren't you paying attention? See, that's how Satan works. I'm not saying my wife works there. I'm just saying that's how Satan works. He reminds you of all your errors. How many of you have been reminded this week of all your errors by Satan? He reminds you how bad you are, how horrible you really are. You can't do nothing right. You're a fool. But here's the situation. Here's the truth. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're washed in the blood of Christ, never, ever, ever to lose it. See, you don't understand that right now. I want you to thrive in that this morning. Peter, I want you to understand, not only am I going to wash your feet, Peter, I'm going to wash your whole soul with my blood. I'm going to give you a precious gift that will never, ever fade away. May I remind you this morning, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're washed in His blood. Can you repeat that to yourself for a minute? Come on, repeat after me. I am washed by His blood. You're washed by His blood. Nothing you can do. He did it for you. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 real quick with me. Ephesians chapter number 3. See, some of you put your Bible away, thought we were done already. Ephesians chapter number 3. I'm sorry, chapter number 2, not 3. Chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse number 1, it says, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Understand this, you used to live like hell. You used to live like the world, but when you've been washed in the blood, you no longer have to live that way because of the blood of Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved. Not just once, you are saved forever. Can I get somebody to grunt? You're saved. You're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus was trying to get Peter to understand. Peter, you don't know it right now. You can't see it right now, but it's coming. Some people's attitude is this: when I get to heaven, I'm going to barely slide in there. I'm going to barely get there because, you know what? Maybe by fingernail. And by my fingernail, I'll climb up in there. You know what? No! I'm going in there with the victory. Yes! I'm here! And you say, wait a minute. You have no right to do that. The blood of Christ gives me the right to do that. I don't have to live a life of defeat on this earth. I live a life of victory because Jesus has saved me. His blood has covered my sins forever and ever. Young people, rejoice. If Jesus is your Savior, your sins are covered. Middle-aged people, rejoice. Your sins are covered. You old people like me, rejoice, your sins are forgiven. Until you sin again. And then when you sin again, you got to go through the whole thing again. Well, some of you think that. Some of you act like it. Some of you act like, well, I got to go do good again. I got to get on my knees and I got to ask God to please forgive me and save me all over again. No! That's a completely opposite to what the Bible teaches. Go to Hebrews real quick, chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Let me show you something here. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 1. I want you to follow along with me. Open your Bibles up and follow this, because this is tremendous, tremendous what God gives to us here. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices of shedding of blood by animals, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. So in other words, as they would every year sacrifice the animals, they were never perfect. They were just forgiven for the year. And then they had to redo it the next year to keep renewing the blood, or renewing the forgiveness. Verse number 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. See, some of you remember your sins every year. You remember the wrongness that you've done. Satan reminds you of it. And it's like something you battle every single day. Just because you did this, Satan reminds you of it. And it's like every day you wake up remembering all the wrongness that you've done. It's a battle. Verse number 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He, Jesus, when He cometh into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do the will of God. Above, when He said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast any pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. When Jesus came, he said, listen, I am fulfilling the promise that the law showed you. The law pointed to a permanent salvation. The law pointed to a permanent sacrifice. I am come to be that permanent sacrifice. And then he says this, by the which, verse number 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of our self-offering. No. Offering of what? The body of Jesus Christ every single year. Once for what? All. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. See, all it would do is just kind of salve over the sins every year. But every year they had to keep repeating it. But this man, verse 12, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Put your name right there. If you are sanctified, Jesus has made you sanctified once for all. That's what it's saying. Peter, I'm washing your feet. I'm demonstrating you how you're to treat other people. But Peter, also understand this. I'm not only washing your feet physically, I'm washing your soul by my blood. Jesus, you have no right to wash my feet. You can't do it. Peter, if you don't identify yourself with me, then you don't understand what I'm doing to you. But one day you will. Brothers and sisters, have you been washed by the blood? Look at me for a minute. Have you been washed by the blood? How about this section? Have y'all been washed by the blood? How about over here? Y'all been washed by the blood? How about up there? Y'all way up in the balcony. Y'all been washed by the blood? How long does that blood last? How many times does that blood have to be applied? Then why do you have to keep making self-sacrifices and trying to make God happy with you by doing better? Well, Brother Brian, I had a rough week and I said a few things and I did a few things I shouldn't have done. God's not very happy with me. If you're washed in the blood, you know all God sees what is? The blood. So it means I can live like hell? No. You live for Christ because of what Christ has done. If you get that in your mind, that you're washed by the blood, it will change how you live. Because if you live like the world, when you're washed by the blood, you're just simply trotting on the blood saying, thank you for saving me, but it doesn't mean nothing to me. My children, as they grow up, they're going to buy their own vehicles. You know why? Because I ain't rich. But more importantly, it means a whole lot to them if they pay for it and it means something to them. My first vehicle was a Ford Pinto station wagon. Green vinyl seats. White with the green and orange pinstriping. Whew, it was a hot car. Man, it had the gas tank in the back that if you got hit in the back, you were an instant fireball. But I loved that car because it was mine. I paid for it. And everywhere I went, I'd even park over two lines so nobody could park next to me. That's how much I loved that car. A Pinto? Well, hey, it was mine. It meant something to me. I washed it and I waxed it. I got that vinyl and I put that cleaner all over that green vinyl. The car mats were vinyl green. But it was mine. It meant something to me. Brothers and sisters, if you've been covered in the blood, it ought to mean something to you. If anybody breathed on that Pinto, I was all over them. You know what? You ought to be all over Satan saying, get away from me. I'm bought by the blood. It ought to mean something to you. Are you washed? Have you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins? Have you trusted Him and Him alone for salvation? If you have, you're washed in the blood forever! Never to lose it. Once for all. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to buy it. It's been applied by His death, His burial, and His resurrection. It's time to live like it now. See, Brother Brian, have you been perfect since you got saved? Absolutely. I'm a pastor. No. Unfortunately, no. But you know what? All I got to do is say, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to live that way. Please forgive me. Wash me. He says, I done washed you, son. Live like it now. See, Jesus says, it's just another verse. He says, listen. You don't have to be washed as a whole body again, but you need your feet washed every once in a while. Some of you need to get your feet washed this morning because you've been walking in sin. Are you forgiven? Yes. But you're stinking too. Need to get your feet washed. Who does that washing? You? No. God does. It's time. Guess what? You don't understand it all right now, but one day you will. Peter, he didn't understand it, but he got it. Thank you, God. I don't quite understand it, but I thank you that you've washed my sins away. Let's live in that today. Amen. Amen. So let's stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You've been washed by the blood of the precious Lamb of God. It's time to live in that. Everybody look up here for a minute. We're not going to bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. I want you to look up here this morning with me. Miss Shirley's playing. Can I get you to understand you're washed? How many are thankful that you're washed by the blood of Christ? How many of you want to live that way? So how about it? Let's start today. Brother Brian, what do I do? If you've never been washed by the blood, today's the day. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Ask God to have Jesus Christ enter in and be your personal Lord and Savior. You say, Brother Brian, I've done that already. Hallelujah. Maybe now it's time for you to say, God, I'm washed in the blood, but I've been walking through the mud. Please forgive me. Restore my relationship with you. You're washed. Let's live like it now. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. Father, I don't understand. I can't fully comprehend how you could love a nasty, filthy sinner like me. I'm sorry, God, for the wicked, nasty things that I've done in my life. And I know, God, that there's nothing I can do. There's not a stinking thing I can do to earn your forgiveness. So I thank you, God, for the shed blood of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, that He is my Savior. And I thank you, God, that His blood has washed away every sin. Help me now, Father, to live in that and to live like I've been forgiven. I pray for my brothers and sisters in this very room right now. Lord, there may be some who've never been washed. Today needs to be that day. Lord, there's some who've been washed, but they're living like they're not. It's time, Father, for them to live like they've been washed. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Convict them. But more importantly, draw them to you right now. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. For it's in His name I pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You need to come.